Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you from Kenya today. And I thank the Lord for the rains we've been getting here. Our crops are looking quite good out at Tshamba, and so we're thankful for that. We have 34 children in the children's home at this time, and many are in school. Most all but one or two of them are in school, most of them in public school close to the children's home. And so we thank the Lord for the provision for that. And so we also are in the process of building a potion mill house up at the church ground. We want to have a potion mill where we can help people with their daily needs by milling maize for them. They eat maize meal or cornmeal two or three times a day in different ways. And so this potion mill will be a great benefit to them and help raise their standard of living. They won't have to walk so far to get their flour. And so that is an important project that we're working on at this time. If you have a desire, and we hope that you do, to help any of these projects at Gather the Outcast, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast and you will get contact information, how you can help us, how you can support us, and be a blessing to the kingdom here to the people in Kenya, and a blessing to Gather the Outcast Ministry. Well, today, as I spoke, we're going to be talking about things that block healing or spiritual hindrances to healing. And again, I spoke that I believe it's God's will. He wants to see us healed. I believe it's God's will. He wants us to be restored. He wants us to be of sound mind, sound body, and have our soul restored. That is His will, because He is a loving God. For God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. Whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so it's God's will that we be healed and restored and fulfill our destiny and not be tormented by the devil. And so as we look at these things today, I have a list here of about six different spiritual conditions or spiritual circumstances, you might say, situations and circumstances that I believe are hindrances to healing. And so if one of these speaks to you, or a couple of them speak to you, work on those things in your life, and maybe none of them will speak to you, but I can assure you that when people don't get healed, there's generally something always in the way that's blocking the power of God, blocking that healing desire of God to come in and move in that person's life and to heal them of their sickness and their infirmity. Well, number one, as you can imagine, is unbelief. Unbelief. If you don't believe that God can heal you, you're starting way down deep in a hole right there. And Matthew 17, I want to look at this scripture. The disciples had brought a young boy to them who was having seizures, and the seizures were throwing the boy down and causing him to suffer in torment from the demonic attacks. And generally speaking, I think seizures and those type of things come from demonic attacks. Not all sickness comes from demonic attacks. Not all sickness is caused by demons. And so you kind of have to discern when you think there are spiritual causes, and sometimes they're just natural causes, organic causes that cause sickness. And I'm not speaking about accidents here where you get sick or you get disabled from accidents. But this situation, the disciples had tried to cast out the demons and deal with this situation. And they brought him to Jesus, and they were not able to cure the boy. And Jesus answered and said in Matthew 17, verse 17, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured for that very hour. So you notice the Bible says that he was cured. So there was a cure of this demonic attachment, this demonic situation. And so the cure involved casting this demon out. And so it's interesting that the scripture uses that term cure here in this situation. And so then in verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have Faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And so Jesus said it was because of your unbelief, disciples. And then he added on to that, this kind can only go out, in other words, for that person himself, it can only go out by prayer and fasting. But Jesus made the implication that because of the disciples' unbelief, they weren't able to cast it out. And he said, if you believe, you will be able to say to this mountain, mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And so when you consider your own sickness, when you consider your own infirmity, your own mental instability or bipolarism or seizures or whatever is plaguing you, whatever is tormenting you and causing you to have bad health or being tormented in dreams and tormented during the day in pain, beloved, believe that God can heal you. Believe that if you have the faith to believe, that you're going to say to that mountain, mountain, move from here to there, and nothing shall be impossible for you. So, beloved, if you have had sickness for a long time, there was one lady in the book of Matthew, she came to Jesus, and she had been plagued with bleeding for many, many years. I believe it said 12 years, the scripture said, and so she was struggling with this. She'd spent all of her money on doctors, and she was still struggling and still tormented by this sickness. And she went to Jesus, and she reached out and she touched his garment, and she said, if I can just reach out and touch his garment, I will be healed. If I can just get in a place where I can get a hold of that garment, I will reach out and I will grab it, and I will be healed. And when she did, when Jesus felt the power go out of him, he said, who touched me? Because he knew that she was begging and seeking and crying out for the power of Jesus Christ and the power of God to heal her. And he knew when she touched him that the circuitry or the power then exited him and went into this lady, and she was healed from that day. Well, Mark chapter 11 also discusses this situation and talks about healing. And so Jesus said in verse 22, chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And this wasn't specifically considering healing. This was about the rabbi, the master, Jesus had cursed a fig tree. But the application of belief is still the same in this situation. For assuredly, I say to you, Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you will have them. And so if you're praying for your sickness, and you're praying for somebody else, you're standing in the gap for your children or your relative or somebody on your prayer list, believe that you will have them. Believe that with your faith in God, believe that the power of God is great enough that nothing will be impossible for you. And whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, that shall come. And then Jesus went on to say, therefore, whatever you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And so this is an instruction for our prayer for healing. Speak to that mountain. When you're praying for somebody else and you're standing in the gap for somebody, you speak to that mountain of cancer. You speak to that mountain of COVID virus. You speak to that mountain of arthritis. You speak to that mountain of drug addiction. You speak to that mountain of bipolarism. Whatever it is that you're praying for of that person, you ask the Lord, Lord, send your angels to break off sickness and infirmity. Send your angels, Lord, to break off that spirit of death and destruction, and that spirit of premature death, that spirit of sickness, break it off in the mighty name of Jesus. Break it off in the name of Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. And you pray the blood of Jesus all over that person, and you continue to intercede and stand in the gap, and you believe that that mountain of sickness, that mountain of cancer, that mountain of COVID virus will be cast into the sea, and you pray believing that you have already received. Well, if you've received the answer, and it was a positive answer, and it gave you joy, and it gave you peace, then you speak that. Lord, I believe that I have received the answer to this prayer for that person's cancer. I believe that I have received the answer for that person's COVID virus situation. And when you believe and you speak that, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe that mountain has been moved. Yes, I believe that you have sent your angels to touch that person with the power of the living God. When you say, yes, Lord, then that shall be done. Jesus said, pray believing as if you have already received. Well, one more case here that we can look at in terms of belief. Jesus came to two blind men. This is chapter 9 in the book of Matthew. Two blind men. When Jesus departed from a certain place, he encountered two blind men following him, and they were crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Well, that was another name for Jesus, Son of David. And so they cried out, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, Yes, Lord. And then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be done to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, See that no one knows it. He wasn't wanting to reveal himself yet as the Son of God. Well, so this is a situation where Jesus pointedly asks them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they answered in the affirmative, and they said, Yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, and according to your faith, let it be done to you. And so many times Jesus healed people, and he said, Let it be done to you according to your faith. Many times he said that. Can he heal us without our faith being involved? Yes, he can, because he is the Son of God, and God has that power. Jesus has that power. The Holy Spirit has that power. But he wants us to believe. He wants us, first of all, to believe that he is. Hebrews 11:6 says, Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so when you diligently seek him and you acknowledge him, don't just say, Well, I'm throwing this prayer up to the ceiling. I'm throwing it up to the stars. I'm throwing it up to the planets or to the angels. No. You're not going to have an answer to your prayer when you do that. You can't just throw up prayers to some nebulous entity, some nebulous figure. It could be a higher power. You think maybe a higher power is hearing you. No, you pray to God. You pray to Jehovah Rapha. You pray to the God who heals us, and you pray that he heals us and that he sends his angels to touch us and the blood of Jesus. And if you believe, Jesus said, Do you believe I am able to do this? And he wasn't talking about just some nebulous feeling or some nebulous substance out there that maybe we can tap into. Jesus Christ's blood has the power to heal us. And when you believe in Jesus, then the power to be healed then is available to you and is for your healing. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross was not only for your salvation, but it was also for your healing. Well, the second thing then that sometimes is a hindrance to healing is pride. And sometimes pride gets in the way of our salvation, gets in the way of us bowing our knee to Jesus and saying, Yes, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life and Savior of my soul. And so pride can be a big stumbling block and a hindrance to our healing. And the scripture I have here for this in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10, Elisha is the prophet of God here in Israel, and there was a commander of the Syrian army, a man named Naaman, and this is a famous scripture. You can read the whole chapter. I'm just going to touch on a few verses of it. And so Naaman comes to Elisha, comes over to Israel to see Elisha because he had heard through a servant girl that there was a great healing man, a healing prophet over in Israel. And so Elisha, who was a leper, came and hoped to have his leprosy healed. Well, in verse 10 of 2 Kings 5, and Elisha sent a messenger to Naaman saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Well, Naaman had come all this way from Syria, and he was hoping to get an audience with Elisha. Elisha just sent a messenger to him and said, "Go and wash in the Jordan. I'm not going to give you a prescription for medicine. I'm not going to give you a hospital visit or a visit to a doctor or a clinic." All Elisha said was, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you shall be healed. Your flesh will be restored to you." Well, verse 11, Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, Elisha will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal my leprosy." Well, that isn't what Elisha did. Elisha didn't fit the mold. He didn't fit the pattern. He didn't fit the expectation of Naaman. Elisha just sent a messenger, said, "Go wash in the Jordan." And so Naaman went home and he was furious. His pride got in the way of his healing. His pride would not allow him to receive what Elisha had for him. And so he was very furious. He went home and he didn't receive any healing. Well, the servant girl and the people with Naaman, when he got back to Syria, said, "You need to humble yourself." They gave him good counsel. They said, "You need to humble yourself and be obedient to the man of God, what he tells you to do." And beloved, many times God gives us instruction. God asks us to humble ourselves. Maybe it's just to fast and pray. Maybe it's to go to church and get with the fellowship. Maybe your healing will come when you get in the fellowship and people can pray for you. Maybe your healing will come when you get in a small group and start to get to know other Christians and get to have a fellowship and a camaraderie and a common bond with other Christians. Maybe it's something simple like that. Or maybe God is telling you go to some revival or crusade or some place where there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where there's going to be the glory of God come down and fill the place, and there will be many people healed. Maybe God is telling you to go there sometime and your healing will come from that. Well, Naaman was furious and he didn't get healed, but because he received the counsel and he wanted to get his leprosy healed, he went then, changed his mind, changed his direction, and he went and found the Jordan River and went back to that muddy old Jordan, and he was dipped into Jordan 7 times, and he came out, the Bible says, he came out with his flesh like a little child. His flesh was restored, and he received his healing when he got rid of that pride in his heart, and he received the instruction from the man of God, and he got rid of that pride. He received the healing that he was asking for. And so that instruction may speak to you. That instruction may have a point for you. Maybe you need to do something that God is telling you to do. Maybe it's just get up out of your chair on Sunday morning, go to the fellowship. Maybe it's go to some place where you know the glory of God is going to be poured out. And I'm not saying never go to doctors. That's not the point here. I'm saying many times our healing has a spiritual root and a spiritual cause, and we need to pay attention to what the Spirit is telling us to do and humble ourselves and be obedient to that Spirit, and we can be healed. Well, a third thing that I have listed here that can be a hindrance to healing is unforgiveness. And back to that scripture, Mark 11, 25. Jesus said, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses," or forgive your sins. Well, why is it important to have our sins forgiven, or to forgive other people in order to be healed? It's because those bitter roots that take hold in our soul, those bitter roots that go down into our soul and make us angry and make us bitter and make us hate other people and make us want to lash out and hurt other people, those bitter roots can be a hindrance to our healing. And the Lord says, when you forgive other people, when you let go of your bitterness and you let me deal with those people, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And so if you're hanging on to anger and you're hanging on to bitterness and you're hanging on to unforgiveness, the Lord says, let go of it, let go of it, and forgive them. He says even farther than that, verse 26 in Mark 11, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses or forgive your sins. And so that is an important teaching for us. We need to learn to let go. You're going to get offended. Yeah, every single person is going to be offended. You're going to be crossed, double-crossed, betrayed. People are going to slander you. People are going to try to, in many ways, offend you. And some of them do it without knowing it, without any intention. But you just have to learn to let go, and you will be healed. Well, the last one we're going to take up today is hiding sins can be a hindrance to healing. Hiding sins, James 5, verse 16, it says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so this is a very simple thing, and yet it's very difficult for people to do. The elders of the church should be busy day and night praying for people, because the Bible says, go to the elders. James 5:13 says, go to the elders. If any of you is sick, go to the elders and let the elders lay hands on you and pray for you, and you will be healed. Well, here's another instruction from James. It's very practical, very simple, very easy to do, and yet our pride sometimes get in the way, and we think that we have to run to the doctors first, that we can't call on the elders, we can't call on other men and women of God to lay hands on us and pray for us. James says very simply, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that deals with our pride as well. And beloved, when you confess your sin or you confess your trespasses to another man or another woman, you find out that they have compassion for you. You find out that you can be healed that way. And you find out that your sin isn't so great when you speak it to another person. You find out it's not so great because other people have also sinned and also fallen into those traps and stumbled in that same way. And through that, your communication about your problem, about your issue, about your sin, when you speak that to another person, then it starts to minimize it and it starts to go away. I'm not saying minimize it in the fact that it's somehow not a sin. It may be a great sin. And when you speak about it, though, you get it out of the shadows. You get it out of the hidden place. You get it out of that place where your pride is making you think that you don't ever stumble or you don't ever sin, and you won't ever have to confess anything to Jesus or to your fellow man. And so those are the four things: unbelief, pride, unforgiveness, and hiding sins. And so if you will deal with those, pray about those in your life, maybe some of those will speak to you, maybe they will all speak to you and help you deal with your sickness. Beloved, I believe it is God's will that you live a long life, 70 and 10, and if by strength, 80. And so I believe it is God's will that you fulfill your destiny, that you be restored in every way, in body and soul and spirit, and that you will walk into your destiny, and you will walk out your destiny to the end of your days, and you will come into the times of refreshing. You will come into the times of joy and peace in your life, just as God wills. Well, I thank you for listening today to this message. We're going to have some more on healing next week, and so tune in again next week. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we thank the Lord for that, and we invite you to partner with this ministry, not only to keep these radio broadcasts on the air, but also for the Africa Mission, the Children's Home, and our church projects here in Africa, the Crusades here in Africa. Stand with us, if you would. Pray about your part in coming alongside this ministry. Pray about your part. You will be blessed. We will be blessed. The kingdom will be blessed. And you will know that you're doing something great. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.